Speck joins us from Toronto. Speck, how are you?
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm all right. Before we get to the big rivalry game, Original Six, Nikolai Habibulin's hurt again.
Yeah, no kidding. And I talked to Jimmy Mastin today, and I was there in Chicago when him and Rob Tichkowski had an off day to deal with in Dallas, so the sports writers have to get ahead and get a story in their book, right, because there's no availability on, what was that, Tuesday?
Yeah.
And they both interviewed him because he was a nice story. He's playing really well. And the last thing he said to him was, "I feel great." And then the next time you hear his name, he's going on IR.
Yeah.
He comes back to Edmonton to get a groin looked at. So you tell me what's going on there. I don't know. They say that he tweaked it in the overtime.
Yeah, that's what Ralph Kruger said. Well, actually, they said originally he felt a tweak against Phoenix. And then again in the overtime, and then when they traveled the next day, they traveled Monday after the game, and then Tuesday it tightened up, which is usually the case afterwards, right? You have your adrenaline, your body's loose, and then once the game, you know, your shower wears off, and all of a sudden, you know, an hour or so later, right? It's the delayed injury kind of thing. And so
I guess so.
You know, it's not a – it's yes, he's playing well, of course. You know, it helps for sure, but – you know, Devin Dubnyk, it's not like Devin Dubnyk's being brutal for them. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's a devastating blow for the Edmonton owners. It's just one where, you know, unfortunately, because I would say, hey, geez, I'd re-sign Nikolai Habibulin for $1 million if he was my backup, as long as he can stay healthy. And you thought if he only had to play 15 games, he could do it. But clearly, you know what, unfortunately for him, he's a guy who finds ways to get injured.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because he's in great shape. Like, he's not a guy who's not in good shape. I've seen him with his shirt off, you know, in the dressing room, and he is in fantastic shape. You can't, you know, I always say this, but you can't make that up. You can't fib about having a six-pack, right? Either you're putting the work in or you're not. And so he puts the work in. I mean, it's unfortunate for him. He's got another injury, and I suggest that, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what the Oilers do, but I don't think you can – in an 82-game season, if Nikolai Habibulin continues to battle injuries again this year, I think you just got to part ways and wish him well and go find yourself a younger backup that's going to stay healthy.
Volpatti put on waivers today. You know, he's a fourth-line player for the most part. I talked to some guys in Vancouver. They say he's incredibly competitive, actually plays within his own, were some of the definitions I got. You think they have any interest? Is this guy even a minute upgrade on what they have or no?
Well, no, and this is why. Like, if you look at the Oilers lineup, who's he going to play ahead of? I would put him ahead of Leonard Petrell, let's say. You know, you're not going to sit out Ben Eager for him, I don't think. I think you're probably just, I mean, you're not sitting out Vandevelde at center ice and Horkoff on his way back. So, you know, the 12th forward on the 7th Oilers team today is Leonard Petrell. But, and I would way rather have a North American guy like Patty who fights once in a while, because I think that is exactly what they could use. But the issue here is, Petrell's a pretty good penalty killer, and Volpatti doesn't kill any penalties. So now you got Darcy Hordichuk, who comes off the bench every, you know, plays just 3 or 4 minutes. I don't think you need that. If Volpatti could kill a penalty, I'd snap him up and replace Petrell with him in a heartbeat. But he can't, so I don't think the Oilers will.
Okay. Looking at the line combinations, Ralph Kruger is obviously going to switch them up. Taylor Hall comes back in against Dallas. I saw Ryan Jones with Gagner and Hemsky. Thoughts?
Yeah, that's good. You like it?
Well, they got to try something. And at this point, it doesn't make sense not to blender things up, in my opinion, because what you're doing is not working. It hasn't worked for 18 games, 5-on-5 scoring.
Yeah, it's not even blendering things up as much as just deciding that you need to spread the six skill forwards over three lines, in my opinion, and get some grit on each line, get some size and some guys who will go get the puck and someone who will bang somebody. That's just, you know, who did Yeri Curry and Wayne Gretzky play with most of the time? Well, 100 different guys, and their names were, generally speaking, like Pat Hughes and Dave Semenko and, you know, those kind of guys, right?
Yep.
Because they didn't need another skill guy on that line. They had plenty of skill. I'm not sure RNH and Everly need another skill guy on that line or, you know, whatever. When we've watched how it's worked, it's not working, so they got to change something. But what interests me is learning just a few minutes ago that the Edmonton Oilers, Kevin Lowe, Mac Tavish, and an Oilers scout are in the press box in Philly tonight to watch Philly-Washington.
Yeah. you know, when I look at either one of those teams, like Philly's blue line is struggling right now, right?
They are.
And but if I'm a Philadelphia scout, I look and say, okay, my blue line's struggling quite a bit. And, you know, I've got guys like Kimu Timonen and Luke Shen and Braden Coburn and, you know, Curtis Foster and Nicholas Grossman. Who else they got? Bruno Gervais, I think, is another
guy. I like Grossman. Grossman's a pretty good player, I think.
Right. Like, they obviously lost something when Mezeros got hurt, right? That was a big loss for them. Obviously, the rake is a huge loss for them. And so I know people are suggesting, well, Ryan Whitney. I guess to counterbalance that, I would look and say, okay, we're going to go to a team right now that isn't winning. On a guy who's not even in their lineup all the time. Is that really an upgrade?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we can make a case for and against acquiring Ryan Whitney. All I know is there's often, who knows how big the deal is. Who knows what they're trying to do here. But the thing that if Dallas picks up Eric Cole, who's having a lousy season, he's got 2 years left at, I think, $4 million, and he's got 3 goals this year. But Dallas picks him up because someone in that organization likes him, and they think, I can get this guy going back to being towards a 35-goal guy like he was last year. I know this guy. I like this guy. We'll take him even though his numbers are poor. So, you know, that's oftentimes what happens with a player like Whitney. Been around the league a long time, and maybe there's someone in Philly or maybe in Washington, because that's the opponent tonight, who says, I know this guy. We can take him, make him a better player. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Petrie's name came up if the Oilers would listen. He's a younger player. But, you know, maybe if they want a younger guy with a little more upside because you're looking for a good player back, maybe you got to move a guy like Petrie as well.
Something to consider for sure. I think the one thing about Eric Cole is, like, Ryan Whitney didn't have a good year last year and then was injured the year before, right? Like, Eric Cole came off a 35-goal season, and the guy they traded him for only had 3 more goals than him. Now, he obviously had more assists, but he only had 3 more goals, and, you know, so it's not, you know, it wasn't like Eric Cole's coming off the heap. He's basically had a tough 18-game stretch. Previous to that, he was very good in 35. So, to me, that's the
it's not the same thing exactly, but that's just the spirit of,
because
the guy's in Ryan Whitney's place, it doesn't mean he'll never play for another team.
Oh,
someone's going to take this guy. He's going to be UFA this summer, and someone's going to sign him. So there are people out there who would have Ryan Whitney on their team. Steve Tambellini and Kevin Owen, the boys just have to find that team.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with you on the fact that I think Ryan Whitney will go play somewhere, and I wouldn't be stunned if he went somewhere and played rather decent. I just look at, okay, if you're going down the Philadelphia lineup, you know, who do they have that you think would be a realistic return for a guy like, Ryan Whitney, right? Like,
good question.
Right? Like, one guy that I'd actually consider at times, and he hasn't played a ton of minutes there, but, man, Zach Rinaldo's actually played at times, you know, in pretty tough situations, albeit limited shifts per game, but I've been surprised how they've used Zach Rinaldo at times in Philly. I don't think they would move him because Philly always loves to have a few guys like that in their lineup, right? But Rinaldo definitely would add a little bit more dick factor to Edmonton, you know what I mean?
Who
are just jerks, and the Oilers don't have those guys.
No, absolutely. And that's the one thing about Philly is they're always big. They draft big. You know, they acquire big players. Danny Breer is obviously an exception to that rule. But generally speaking, the Philadelphia Flyers are one of the biggest teams in hockey, and the Oilers need size. You know, so there are guys there. They're, because they have so much size, they can usually afford to part with a bigger player. So, who knows? Listen, we don't even know if the Oilers scouts are thrilled at the game. Are looking at Philly, might be looking at Washington, a team that is in desperate need of some change, right? The Washington's the same. They need help in a lot of places. They're near the bottom of that conference, and they got to get going here the next 2 weeks. If they don't pick things up, if they stay down where they are, instead of being 4 points out of the playoffs, they could be 10.
Yeah, they need. We had Brian McNally on the show earlier, and he said they've actually been playing better lately. For that team, you know, Mike Green has now just come back, and he looks better than he did last season for sure, coming off the injury. You know, him and Alsner and Carlson are definitely the guys in the back end there. You know, they're going to lose Pody and Hamrlik, and who knows? Like, they got rid of Dennis Wideman right now, obviously because of Calgary, how much they paid him. I don't think Washington want to pay him that much. But
you
look at Ryan Whitney and you think, could he replace Dennis Wideman, which is something Washington's lacking?
Yeah, absolutely. You just never know. The guys that they have obviously aren't working, and this is a good time to make a deal with the Washington Capitals because George McPhee has to give something up because he needs something back here. You know, and there's the Oilers are the same. The Oilers are teetering on falling right out of this thing too. And maybe it's time to make that Hemsky trade. Maybe it's time to, you know, to move a little bit more than just guys you don't want. You know, it's easy to sit here and talk about trading all the Ryan Whitneys, you know, Nikolai Bulin and all that. Those aren't impactful trades. They're just swap for swap. You know, maybe it's time for Kevin Lowe to find a dance partner on a trade for a top six player and, you know, a guy like a Petrie or something like that. Who knows?
A few other things, Speck. I know you're a big baseball guy. You follow baseball and, of course, the World Baseball Classic. What do you think of the move Russell Martin did this week? He had talked about, you know what, I want to try shortstop. He didn't want to be a back catcher for three games and 4 days in the preliminary rounds. He went to them, and now suddenly then he was like, sorry, okay, now I'm not coming. Like, is this just spoiled Brad
or what? I don't
like
the move. I mean, I'll just say it, you know, flat. I don't like the move. Go catch for him. Make a deal where you catch two of the three games, you know? And say, look, I mean, he's still the best catcher. Suck it up and catch a couple of baseball games. How tough is it, seriously? What, are you in that bad of shape you can't catch a couple games here? I mean, go there, hit for him, catch two games, you know, play whatever you do, DH the third game. I don't know if they have a DH. I think they do. And just go play for your country. You know, go in there and play a shortstop. They got better shortstops, I understand. And nor do the Pittsburgh Pirates want him playing shortstop. So, you know, in short, suck it up, go catch a couple games, and quit telling everyone else how it's going to work. They've invited you to play for Team Canada. That's supposed to be enough, isn't it?
You would think it was, Speck. Bad news on the injury front in Vancouver. Kessler's got the broken foot, out 4 to 6 weeks. You know, another big blow to a team, the only team in the Northwest who's even above the cut line.
Yeah, you know, the first thing you think is, oh, boy, is that going to heat up the trade rumors? Well, I'll tell you what. The answer to that, to me, is no, because Vancouver's going to win the Northwest for fun. They just have to show up every night, and they're in third, minimum third place in the conference, right? There's not a team in the Northwest that's going to challenge them. So, you know, they don't – I think they'll get by with Andrew Ebbett just fine. They'll continue to try to find a trade for one of these goalies. The bigger question here is I'm not so sure that the Canucks are ready to just trade Luongo and go to war the rest of the next several seasons with Schneider. I'm not sure he hasn't played a little bit of uncertainty into the minds of the people running the Vancouver Canucks. What do you think?
Well, they got to be a little concerned, right? I think they would have to make a move at some point to shore up. Now, it is only a month, and if you're Vancouver and you stay your place in the standings, then maybe they don't. But you know, coming off, he already had one surgery. Now, a broken foot's a little bit different. Some guys, it can heal right away, but it depends which bone it is in the foot. I've talked to doctors about that, and, you know, a broken foot, it depends which bone it is because there's so many of them, right? And some of them, depending on where the pressure point is, you know, it can be hard for guys to recover quicker than others.
Oh, and, you know, we saw this with Ethan Morrow, and he just broke down with injury after injury, but they weren't the kind of injuries that you could ever blame Ethan Morrow for. Remember, he busted a foot. Yeah. And then he busted did he break his arm or something like that?
Well, yeah, in the fight. Remember when he went to throw a punch and it just came out?
Yeah, his shoulder came out, and then he got hit by pucks and injured. I mean, it wasn't his fault, but it was his problem. And, you know, that's where Kessler's getting to here. He's hurt again. You know, no one's given up on Ryan Kessler. He's still a really good player. But, you know, you also start to think that, holy cow, you know, I hope this doesn't just continue on this guy. So, luckily for Vancouver, they're not pressed. They're better than everyone in the Northwest by a long margin. So, they still have to come to grips with this goaltender situation. They've got too much value sitting in a ball cap every night. You can't have Luongo or Schneider sitting on your bench every night. It's just not right. You got to turn that value into a player. And I think it's pretty fair to say Mike Gillis had a harder time trading Luongo and getting value than most of us thought he would.
Well, interesting listening to Corey Schneider's postgame comments last night, basically saying, you know what, I'm getting tired of being an average goaltender. And I looked at the start of the year, and Corey Schneider's numbers are okay. 908 save percentage, you know, a 272 okay goals again. But Corey Schneider has not been, I think, the goalie that a lot of people assumed automatically based on 30 games that he was going to be. And I'm not surprised by it, Speck, to be honest, because 30 games does not make any player in any career, especially when you look at how good of a team, offense, and defense he has in front of him.
No, you're right. You know, you're absolutely right. It's interesting to hear Corey Schneider say that, because I think he's a pretty good goalie. But he's got that's why. Like, what do you think is going to happen with Schneider if they traded Luongo tomorrow? You know, what happens if, does he just get better and consistent and we all go along our happy, merry way? Or does he have a couple more average games and then the pressure's on, like, uh-oh, did we do the wrong thing? You know, so we watch these guys develop in Edmonton for long enough. You watch all these young guys the Oil have. They don't go in a straight line, man. You know, one day you love Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, the next you go, oh, man, I hope he's going to be better than this. You know, one day we're talking about Eberle being better than Hall. The next we're talking about Hall being better than Eberle. If it was easy, everyone would win the Stanley Cup, right?
Very difficult, Speck. It is very difficult. Hell, it's difficult just to make the playoffs on a regular basis, okay? Let's not start talking crazy and think of Stanley Cup. How about just make the playoffs a few years in a row?
Wow. How about making them once? I'm here in Toronto. I went to the skate this morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a team that, this is the longest non-playoff streak in hockey today. This is the only team that hasn't made the playoffs since the last lockout. Mm-hmm. And they're looking like they might make the playoffs this year. Good for them. But this organization, with the wherewithal they have, the money they have, you know, the access to hire extra scouts and smarter GMs and extra people to help that GM and all that stuff, fanciest planes, nicest drink, all of that, that doesn't get you in the playoffs. So they're awfully happy here thinking that this might be the spring where they get a playoff hockey game here at Toronto.
Should be a good rivalry game tonight, Speck, the Leafs and the Habs. Everybody's fired up about it.
Because they're both good teams. It's like the first one of these days Edmonton and Calgary are going to play when they're both good teams, and we're going to have the same fun.
Dare to dream, Speck. Dare to
dream.
Dare
to dream, baby. I'm not at the game. I wish I was. I'm working tonight on the Hockey Central panel here with Mike Keenan, as a matter of fact, which is an honor.
Oh, good. Well, to make sure you don't send out a text message, Speck, that will be inappropriate for your other fellow compatriots at Sportsnet, because he might suggest that that's bad form.
I'll mention that to Iron when I see him.
You ask him about, saying, hey, Luongo, a tweet the day after a game. The only – I honestly believe that – and I know how the panel works – normally, somebody has to be the guy who says the other opinion. Even if you disagree with it off air, some days you got to say it on air. I'm wondering if that was one of those times where he lost the coin flip.
I don't know. That could be. I'll have to ask him about that. He didn't like that tweet. He also made a stir in Edmonton when he laid in the orders the other night about not being gritty enough having enough, playing with a little bit of courage and battening down the hatches a bit.
Welcome to the party. It's only about a few years late.
I know. That's what I said. I laughed with him here last night. I said, it was good stuff, man. But how come when you say it, everyone takes notice? Me and Gregor have been saying it for 3 years. No one says anything. I guess we don't have anyone listening to us. Okay.
I guess not. You know. just Iron Mike of, hey, you know what? The Oilers, trust me, they are. Brian Lawton said the same thing on my show yesterday, Speck, that the Oilers right now have some guys that he doesn't think you can win with. Flat out, basically, was the quote. He said, you know what? On their back end, they're developing guys who have, quote, those trapping characteristics where you look at them and they seem to have all the semblance of a good player, but it never actually comes to fruition. And essentially, maybe they just don't flat out compete hard enough. It's not even about skating or size or anything. It just comes down to the size of heart and will.
Yep.
And to
how hard
me,
do you play?
That's a damning statement.
How hard do you play?
Yep.
Right? That's what it comes down to. And they do have some guys that don't play hard enough. I know they do.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And that's part of the process here, man. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's, you assemble all this talent, and then you got to find all the intangibles, too. And bigger players. We say it every day. They're not done yet. This cake is not ready to come out of the oven. There's no doubt about that.
Speck, enjoy the game. Say hi to Iron Mike for us.
I will, for sure. Thanks, Dave.
All right.